Hello and welcome to another episode of Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you for joining me again. I'm just feeling so grateful and appreciative right now. And again, I have to keep reiterating, this is like the longest project that I have ever stuck to. And y'all continue to rock with me and listen. And so I just want to, whether you have listened from the very beginning or you're new, I just want to say that I truly, truly appreciate you very much. So, y'all, I'm excited about this episode. I'm excited about this guest. However, before I go into his bio, I want to invite you to join my email list. There are some amazing pivots and transitions that I'm going through right now, and I want you to be along the ride with me. I want you to be in my little piece of the internet so that we can get to know each other a little bit more intimately. I know these episodes are pretty intimate when I share about myself, but I'm definitely going to be diving deeper in my email list. Those who have said yes to, Natasha, we rock with you. What's going on? What you got going on? So the link is in the show notes. Definitely join me on the email list. I will not bombard you with emails. It's more of a weekly check-in, letting you know what's going on, how you can participate, how you can rock with me, action plans on your pleasure, your desire. It's all going to be there, okay? So, let me say how I met this particular person. So, I met this guest in a group coaching program. Gooch. I'm so unserious. In a group coaching program, and he messaged me and was like, I heard that you are the go-to sex coach and I want you on my podcast. This is the episode that y'all listened to when I took a break a couple months ago. But I was like, okay, cool. His energy is a vibe, I'm trying to tell y'all. And he definitely dropped the gems and the tea for you all. And I definitely think we need to come together as a collective and have a conversation after you listen to this episode. Just let me go ahead and give you his bio. So I am introducing you to dating coach Anwar White. Coach Anwar is a certified dating and relationship coach who has 13 years of experience helping Black and brown women date with strategy, meet relationship-ready men, and get into the best relationship of their lives. Y'all, I'm not even going to drag this on any longer. Enjoy this episode. Enjoy this episode. Enjoy this episode.
TikTok thing is interesting.
And now they're trying to get rid of it, so which I don't think it'll be a thing. Well,
yeah.
Thank you for joining us at Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. I am very excited for this conversation, and I know that my listeners are very excited for this conversation. So,
thank you so much for having me, girl. I appreciate it. I'm so happy to be. You were on my podcast, girl. I had to return the favor.
Oh, and we have not touched bases in a while.
Yes, and ma'am.
It is time to chat. So before we get started, you know how you have those people that are like, who is he to try to tell me? So can you break down why you are the expert, the professional for dating for women of color?
Got it. Well, first and foremost, ladies, you don't have to listen to anybody. You don't have to listen to me. Listen to your intuition, first and foremost. That's the thing that's going to, like, you know, it will never lead you astray. So you can take what I'm saying as with a grain of salt. You can take it or leave it. I'm not here to, like, try to convince or persuade people to listen to me. I will let you know that I've had 14 years of experience, professional experience doing this, and I'm certified as a dating and relationship coach. But I've really been doing this all of my life, helping boys talk to girls, girls talk to boys, even on the elementary school playground. So, you know, that's what I've been doing. I believe it's my calling and my purpose. And I really do try to do what I can to make sure that Black women are getting the love that they need and deserve. And, you know, we do a lot of deeper work in the work that I do. It's not just like, oh, text him this so that he'll do that. It's more like, no, girl, let's talk about how your mom was overly critical and judgmental and how you're chasing her approval and therefore chasing the approval of men. Right? That's the sort of deeper work that we do so that we can heal some of those inner child wounds and make sure that you're becoming the woman that's ready for the best relationship of her life. Because no shade, many of us might not be there right now, but that's the work that we get to do the work while we're dating and while we're in the relationship. And so that's what I try to do with my clients when they come to me. And the work works. I mean, in the last, I don't know, 7 days or so, I've gone to a client's wedding in New Orleans, and I've had at least five clients get into exclusive relationships with healthy men.
I love that. I love that. And I trust you. So that's why I brought you on. So for those listening, yes, we always talk about trusting ourselves, but I bought Anwar on because I trust him with you. So
Thank
take
you.
what you learn, take the gems and implement them. Don't just listen to this episode, like implement what you're getting ready to hear. So
And
where do
I'll
I want to
spill it. I'm
start?
gonna spill it on this episode. I spill a little bit, but I'm gonna spill a lot because you're my girl. And if you trust me, then I'm gonna spill what I can.
I don't even know where I want to start. Okay, so here's what I know. I live in the Atlanta area, and I also know that most of my listeners are in the Atlanta area and the North Carolina area. I
Okay.
also know that they are 35 and older, which is the same as my clients. Let's start with the Atlanta area. I just finished reading Is Marriage for White People? And one of the things that stood out to me, and it aligns with what you've talked about, and I've also seen some controversy on this, is the loyalty that Black women have to Black men. What is that? I know what it is. I read the book and it is so ingrained, but for you, what is this loyalty to these men that seem to not really want us?
So let's step back. There are some Black men that want Black women, but oftentimes Black men don't know what they want because they don't know themselves. And so what's happening is, and you see this so much in Atlanta, there is a gender gap in the ratio, right? So for every 100 Black women, there are only 88 Black men. So when I get a lot of mess, a lot of shit, when I say I want Black women to date everyone, because there literally are not enough Black women for Black men. So some of
Right.
y'all gonna have to, no shade. If you
Right.
want somebody, right? Unless y'all want to do
Yes.
the poly thing, which is happening in the Carolinas and in Atlanta because of the ratio, because there are 6 to 8 Black women for every Black man that is healthy and wealthy and ready for a relationship. So they
Right.
get to choose, these men get to choose, and they don't actually have to treat you well because they have 6 to 8 other women that are chasing them, right? So they don't have to commit. They don't have to treat you well because they can just put you aside and go on to the next one, right? And I'm not saying this with, I know it sounds maybe callous, but I think it's important for you to understand that, like in places like DC proper and Atlanta, this is the reality. And this is why it's so hard to date in Atlanta. So I always tell my clients in Atlanta, girl, you want to get on the apps as well as do offline. But in the apps, you want to have one app in the Atlanta area, wide radius, and you want to do another app in another city outside of Atlanta.
Oh, yeah,
You
that is good
have to.
advice.
You have to, right? And hip hop, right? So if I'm on Bumble and I'm on Hinge, for 2 weeks, I'll be on Bumble in Atlanta and then Hinge in Houston or, Maryland, right? And then every 2 weeks, we're gonna flip and we're gonna flop, right? Because we gotta continue to be fresh in these apps so we can always be the new girl in school, right? And we can always get the profiles and the likes, popping in your inbox as much as possible. So that is how you want to kind of work the apps if you're in the Atlanta area to make sure that it's always fresh. You always have new leads coming in
Oh,
when it comes
that's
to this.
tea.
Always
Oh.
tea, girl. I told you I'm going to spill for y'all,
Oh
right?
my
So please
goodness.
understand that's what you want to do when you're in the Atlanta area, especially, right? The other thing, like I was saying before, this gender gap ratio, but the toxic loyalty comes from a couple of things, right? Oftentimes we've seen our mothers and our grandmothers settle and actually condone behavior that is subpar. And so what I've seen for Black women is the model is their mom. And so if they see their mom doing it, they're going to think, okay, this is the definition of love, right? This is how I love, and this is how I should expect to be loved. And that, this is a bonding pattern, right? This is how I create my bonding pattern. So the thing that I want everyone to understand is, girl, if you were born in China, you would be into Chinese men. So please understand that this is also part of not just like, it's not just nature, it's also nurturing because that's what you're surrounded with. So there's a part of that that's happening too. And then you have all of this rhetoric in society saying, don't leave the Black man because, it's so hard for him. No shade, it's harder for you than it is for him. So I don't subscribe to the like, let's have pity on him and like, no shade, like, give him things and give him grace and give him all of these chances and the benefit of the doubt because life is hard for him. Life is probably harder for y'all. And so I don't really subscribe to it as someone. And here's the thing, I love Black men. I think that they're amazing. I think that they have a lot of challenges that are really difficult, and many of them have not done the work to heal those challenges, so they're going to project those things onto you. So what I am saying, and I will always say this, is date everyone and let the best man win. And that might be a Black man, that might be a white man, girl, it might be an Asian man, right? I will let you know, in my program, I would say 50% to two-thirds of my clients do end up with Black men, but they end up with healthy Black men, and that's the important point.
So what I have found is there is this, I don't necessarily see it as a value or a worth issue in my clients, but there is this inherent, I just can't do it. Like I just cannot step outside. It's almost like a force field around Black women when I bring up, well, have you thought about looking outside of a Black man? And you can see like I slapped him in the face. But I know when reading the book, we start talking about that generational trauma and the stories that we tell ourselves, especially if we go out and date a white man, what starts to come up for us, or the shit that people put on us
That's it.
about, oh my gosh, you want to date the other and the master and all that. So how do you help women through that block? Because I understand like the visceral
100%.
reaction to it, but how do they start moving through that barrier of judgment within themselves and others if they make that decision?
Couple of things. One, it is very, very natural for people to feel this way, right? It is actually human nature. When you are moving away from your own tribe, it feels like banishment, right? And in tribal days, when you were banished from your tribe, it meant death, right? And so that is kind of what's happening in your mind. But I just look at the statistics. I was a statistics undergrad, right? And so if we're talking about America, only 13% of men are Black. So you basically almost eliminating 9 out of every 10 men that you
Oh
actually
my gosh.
meet or see because of your preference. And I'm not even talking about what other requirements that you may have, which might be he needs to be 6 feet or taller. That's only another 15%, right? He needs to make six figures. That's only another 9%. And for Black men, it's 2%, right? And so when I like calculate all the numbers, just with those statistics alone, that's like less than 1%, less than 0.1%, excuse me. It's 0.07% when I kind of do all of the calculations of guys that are quote unquote a dream Black man. So when you tell me it's hard to find someone, I believe you. And so that is why another reason why I'm saying widen your net. When you widen your net to everybody, it is you're gonna 7x your chances of finding your person. Yeah. And no shade, dating is getting harder and harder. And I think it's also important to realize that No group is a monolith, right? And so,
Mm-hmm.
what you think about these white men or these Hispanic men or these Asian men or these Indian men or these Middle Eastern men, because I'm not just saying go with white guys. I'm just saying go with,
Right,
see,
right.
it's like the Hunger Games, girl. Put them all in your, put them all in the race, girl, and see who comes out alive, girl. See who's that, who's your Katniss, girl. But that is why you want to do it, because when you do it, you really do limit yourself. And then what happens is that you get into this scarcity mindset, right? I call it scarcity love mindset, where that's because you don't see a lot of healthy individuals that are potential people that you want to partner with. You'll start to settle and you'll start to have something just to have something. And because you believe that having something is better than having, even if it doesn't fully serve you, it's better than having nothing at all. I want to offer to you all that it's better to have nothing, because when you have something that's like, so let's say like that's at a level 5 or a 6 out of 10, you will start to believe that you are only worth a 5 or a 6 in terms of treatment. It's what we call the upper limit, right? The upper limit of love. And so you play yourself. And so now, after that guy that gave you that 5 or 6 level treatment, you will only look for guys that are a 5 or a 6. And that's why you don't want to settle. That's why you don't want to have scarcity mindset. That's why you don't want to limit your pool as much as possible. And you want to widen it so that you can have this level of abundance while you are dating and soon to be in a relationship.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm not even single, and I felt my body have a reaction to you would prefer nothing. That makes me, I don't know why it makes me sad. I don't know where these are both damn somatic healing classes. I'm really feeling, I'm feeling that. And I think it's because I have such really good relationships with my clients. And I know we talked about right before we hit play the Risa Tisa, and you didn't see all of it, but that is your lived experience with your clients and mine as well. And one thing that sticks out that she said is, and I've heard it from my clients right after, and I don't know if they watched it or not. I wanted it to be my turn. She went through 6 months of, I would say, a year of pure hell because she wanted it to be her turn. So I think hearing you say, sometimes nothing is better than settling.
No, not sometimes.
All the
Always.
time. All the time.
Always.
That
Always.
hurts, Anwar. That truth hurts. And I'm not even single.
It hurts if you are ascribing or attaching your value to being in a relationship and being with a man. Please understand this. And I think this is especially true for Black individuals. We grow up very differently. And what I've noticed and what I've observed is because of institutional racism, things like that, we've had either, many of us have been in single parent households, generally single mothers. I think in the 90s, they said that was close to 2/3 of all of our households. And if we were in 2-person households, they were both working to try to keep our roof over our head. So we don't have a lot of attention. We don't have a lot of nurturing. We don't have a lot of being cherished. Huge generalization, but I've learned it to be true. So when you're super thirsty for those things, right? If you're in a desert of all those things, one drop of it will feel like the freaking Nile River because we are so thirsty for it. So while many of y'all are trying to just have a person, I want to make sure that you are quenching your own thirst, right? That's the focus. So that when someone gives you a little drop, you're like, this isn't enough. I need more. I need a whole Gatorade bottle. I need more electrolytes, honey. Like, I need more. That is the focus and that is the work. Many of us are focused on him and not focused on us. Right. And so I want to make sure that we're focused on those things so that you're ready for that. You're ready for a 9 or a 10 instead of okay with a 5 or a 6.
And that definitely is, what I work through my clients with. How do we nourish ourselves? How do we love on ourselves? How do we romanticize ourselves so that we up the bar of how we treat ourselves. Because the goal is to have people come into your atmosphere and see how you treat yourself and be like, I can't fuck with her because I can't touch what she does for herself. I think sometimes what happens is because the stretch of time that we are loving on ourselves and showing up for ourselves gets a little longer, we have a hard time shifting into our softer identities when we find those nine or tens. And so it's either this is just a fluke, this is not going to last, or I don't know how to not do for myself. I don't know how to step out of this. I got it, me. I can take care of
But
me.
that's the work. That's the
Yeah.
work. While you are looking for your person, like I always think of it as like a parallel work stream, right? Where you're searching and the guy can come or not come, that's fine. But the work, like your job is to actually get into your softer area before you find your person, right? I think people are thinking like, oh my God, I need a man to make me feel safe. I need a man to put me in my feminine energy. No, girl, that's your job. Your job is to start out that way so that you can actually attract a truly masculine man. Many Black women are in their masculine energy because they only received masculine energetic love growing up from their mothers or oftentimes from their emotionally or physically absent fathers. So they might not know how to be in their feminine energy. It's one of the things and one of the tenets that I teach in my program, because it is the way to actually help you evaluate what, like, the kind of guy you are talking to. Most Black women are in their masculine energy. And when you're in your masculine energy, you will attract two kinds of individuals because relationships are about the complement. It's about the yin and the yang, right? It's not about the clone. And so I think a lot of women are like looking for their clone, and that's like a huge mistake when it comes to dating. If you're in your masculine, you will attract two kinds of guys. A guy that that's in his uber or toxic masculine that will try to force you to submit into your feminine, or a guy that is in his dominant feminine energy and kind of regress a teenage into a teenage boy and who's looking for a mother. Those are the only two guys that you will attract when you are in your masculine. So please understand that part of this work is when you are understanding, learning how to be vulnerable and share your emotions, setting boundaries, up leveling your confidence, understanding your relationship needs, healing your inner child wounds. You're also going to have to learn how to sit comfortably in your feminine energy. That is the work.
Especially
You've
five
got to
years
do
ago.
that before you meet the guys. Because here's the thing, right? If you don't, right? You will only attract those guys, and then you'll be even more frustrated. And I'm pretty sure many of your listeners have attracted those two kinds of guys because they don't know how to ask for help. They don't know how to accept versus judge, right? They don't know how to share their feelings, right? All of these things are very important. They don't know how to listen and have a 50-50 conversation.
Yeah, I wish I had a you 5 years ago. I've been with my partner this year to be 14 years, and just in the last 5 to 6 is when I've made the decision I want to be soft, right? So it's been interesting because he doesn't know that side of me. So it gets really confusing for him. So we have to do a lot of talking. And he's like, what do you mean? What do you want? Why are you doing that? I think one of the biggest arguments we always have is when I want him to do something because he is the better at it. Like I'm learning to stay in my lane. And he's like, well, let me just show you how to do it and you can do it yourself. And so the way that I approached that conversation wasn't the greatest, and he would get defensive. And so one day I just had a vulnerable conversation about allowing him to lead and feeling safe. I use the words safe enough to allow him to know that I'm not always right. I'll tell you, saying that was hard, but admitting that I'm not always right and that there are things that he is better at than me, and I would allow him to, I want him to shine in those areas. And his approach was like, oh, I got you. Like he understood it wasn't a fight anymore. And it hasn't been a fight since I was very vulnerable. But what I find is being vulnerable even as me, the expert on pleasure and loving on yourself, and is so hard. I know it's probably hard for women, but me being a Black woman, it is so hard because I've spent a lot of time, I got it, it's fine, I got it, and pushing down emotions. And as you see, just from you talking about that one thing, it my emotions come up now, and I don't fight it. And it allows him to approach me. And it was weird in the beginning. He didn't know what to do. But
Transitionary
now he
period, girl. Yes,
right.
ma'am.
He approaches me a lot softer now.
I love that. And just for your listeners, right? Like, if you're like, oh my God, I need to get into a softer era for myself, please understand there's going to be a transitionary period where people aren't going to know what to do with you, right? Your friends, your family,
Right.
your work colleagues, your partners that you're dating or in a relationship with, it's gonna take some time, right? I got a lot of shit. It was a very controversial video that I posted, but I told Black women that I want you to get into your WWA, which is white woman audacity, right? And this is how you get into your softest era, which is all about doing for yourself, meaning having things done for you instead of you having to do for yourself, and centering yourself and making sure that others are doing for you versus you doing for others. Because culturally speaking, especially Black women, Black girls are told you have to do everything for everyone, and that's how you get love, right?
Yes.
We saw our mothers, grandmothers, foremothers bend over, backwards, self-sacrifice. And we thought, okay, that's what we have to do, and that's how
Right.
we'll get love. No, it's actually the opposite, right? And so how do we get into this? Because this is very important as we think about how do we do the work before we have a person. I always tell women, I want you to be the CEO of your love life, not the intern. So what does that mean?
Ooh.
The CEO doesn't do any work. The CEO listens to what everyone has to say and then shares what they want. Right? Okay, I would like to do this. Yeah, I would like to do that. Many of us are acting like the intern in our love lives and working, working, working hard to get that full-time opportunity. But you're working too hard. You actually in love, you have to work, half as much to get twice as much. Whereas what we were taught was you got to work twice as hard to get half as much. This is why it's oftentimes very hard for us to find a guy that's true in his masculine energy, because he's supposed to actually do more for you. So what does this mean? Because I want to spill tea. I want the ladies to come out of this episode like, okay, I have a game plan. Every week, your challenge is to ask five people for help and let them do it. I didn't say seven. I didn't say one every day, girl, right? Hey, can you pick me up from the airport, please? Hey, at work, hey, can you help me with this project? I'm having some trouble. Can you look over something that I've done, right? To make sure that it's great, right? Hey, can you do this? Hey, can you do that? Why? Well, just think about it. When someone asks you for help, you feel honored and you actually feel like it's a compliment and you feel more connected to them. Of course, I want to do something for you. You have to understand that when men do something for you, they're going to feel more connected to you. They're going to like you more and they're going to feel more bonded to you. Because they derive their value from your pleasure, right? And so please understand that, like, when you allow them to like have a problem that they can solve, they're going to feel more self-actualized. And because you allowed them to do that, they're going to feel more bonded and connected to you. So you have to give them things to do. Can you do this for me? And then thank them, admire them, appreciate them before and after they do the task. So, like, to your point about your husband doing something or your partner doing something, right? It's not just like, oh my God, you're better at it. It's also, I'm feeling overwhelmed and I'm feeling really stressed out, and this would really alleviate things for me. See, I'm inspiring him to want to do it. This is the sort of communication that we want, right? To your point, it has to be based in feelings. That's why vulnerability is so important. And if y'all don't have it, honey, y'all need to get an emotion wheel and start using that thing every day and every night. Are the girls going to see this visual, or is it just going to be audio?
It's audio, but I can definitely If you send me a picture, I will make sure that they see that wonderful. Wi Oh, I have looked at that because I was like, I use the same five
Yes,
words
girl.
over and
Don't
over
mind the tears,
again.
girl, because we use this in my entire house. And when the kids are having an issue, we go to this emotion wheel and we figure out what's really going on, honey.
Yep. And for those of you that are like, okay, this makes sense. I need an actual example. While he was talking, I have an example. So we have, he makes grilled cheese. He makes amazing grilled cheese, but it's one of those conversations while it's just watch how I do it and you do it. So one day we had a back and forth about the grilled cheese. And the way I explained it, it was, it's not about the grilled cheese. It's about the fact that you show up and you fill my stomach with love because of the way that you do it. It makes me feel good on the inside. I love when we sit together and we talk about the cheese coming off and we eat it together. And then I thank him after and I give him a hug because mine never come out like that. And he was very receptive. And now it's not a, well, why can't you just make it yourself? Now when I ask for the grilled cheese, he understands it's not the food. Right? Like we have to make it more than the surface level. And I think that's where the vulnerability and the communication comes in. It's not about the food. You know, it's about you taking the time out to make it perfect the way that you make it and the conversations that we have while you're making it and the connection that we have while we're eating it together is what I enjoy. And I'm not going to get that if I do it myself. And so explaining it to him that way. He was able to see the value and why I would want him to do a grilled cheese sandwich for me. So there is nothing too small or too big to ask for, I feel like. And it's also not weak. I think that's something we have to touch on too, the idea that asking for help is weakness. It's not weakness.
Well, no shade, but nobody gets to where they are alone. So
Absolutely.
we're always asking for help. Even when we're in that Sephora, girl, we always need to get that different shade or whatever it may be, girl. So we're always asking for help. So it feels like a weakness in intimate relationships because we may be so used to people not honoring and respecting our emotional needs based on the way that we grew up, because our feelings aren't necessarily celebrated or welcome in many Black households. And so feels like that, but please understand that as an adult, your experience will be completely different. But you have to do it like Nike, just do it to actually experience the new and different reception of your emotional needs. You got to share them first. Please understand that this is your vulnerability is the safest thing that you can do in dating. Because if you're vulnerable, you will be able to evaluate whether a man has the emotional capacity or safety to be a great partner for you. And when you don't do that, and you will find out later on that he probably doesn't. And then at that later point, you're probably going to be too stuck, too in it, and it's going to be harder to get out of it. Yeah. So you want to actually lead with those emotions so that you can see his emotional capacity. But also, please understand that based on how men are socialized, you being vulnerable and initiating that will help him to be comfortable and vulnerable sharing his feelings as well. And that's when the deep connection happens. You will never deeply connect with a man unless you are vulnerable with your feelings from a feeling perspective. Yeah.
So we got into feelings, and I know that a lot of the criteria that women are looking for don't necessarily include feelings.
They
They
don't.
want a God-fearing man. They want a man that makes this much money and lives this type of lifestyle and has this type of relationship with his mother and has no kids. So what have you found is a hindrance when we talk about expectations? Because expectations are important, but depending on the expectation, is it hindering women as they look for their partner?
100%. I think that I had this whole exercise around understanding your deeper relationship needs, right? A lot of what you've mentioned are wants. The things that you've just mentioned do not correlate with a successful relationship outcome, right? I don't know if you grew up in the church, but I did. Might not sound like it with this voice and these feminine mannerisms, but I grew up in the church, honey. And most of those guys are not it. And everybody who grew up in the church knows it. Yeah, that's why I always tell my Christian girls, if you want to find a man, don't try to find him in the church. Volunteer. That's where you will find your man, because he's not just talking about it, he's doing something about it. Yeah. And he's living the values. Yeah. It has to be those, your list has to be rooted into have emotional depth in it. And one of the things that I help my clients understand is your deeper relationship needs are going to be based on the things that you didn't receive from your childhood, from your parents. And you have to delve into what that is so that you can feel truly at home, whether that is attention or nurturing or unconditional love, which means acceptance, or life skills, or basic hygienic needs, or protection, respect of boundaries, cherish, encouraging one's talents, all of those things, those are the things that you're gonna have to figure out, right? In terms of like, what are your deeper needs, the things that are going to sustain you and fill you for 20, 30, 40 years from now, right? Yeah.
Gosh, it almost seems like I do the beginning work with them and then I send them to you so that they can find their person. That seems to be like the line that we need to have going on here. 'Cause I
Girl, I've heard
usually
that so much.
I usually get the single women or the women who are struggling in their relationship and it's time to let it go, right? So I just need to send them on to you. I love this conversation. I don't know. I feel like I have a lot of ahas. I feel like I have a lot of like questions swirling in my brain, and I don't even know where to land because this conversation with you is so opposite of what you naturally hear. So it's hard to grasp what you're saying because leaving your container, you go back out where everyone is saying something completely different.
And guess what? Most of y'all been listening to them and no
I
shade, but guess what? You're not going anywhere. You staying stuck. I always say, you can listen to me, you don't have to listen to me. You may want to try something different for a different result. Yeah.
Yeah, because we
Yeah.
know what doing the same thing over and over again results in.
Yeah, 100%.
So, for my big city girlies, for my
Yes, ma'am.
Atlanta girlies,
Yes,
for
ma'am.
my DC, for
Yes,
my
ma'am.
Charlotte girlies,
Yes.
what is their next step? Like, if you were to give them a 1, 2, 3 of what to do, start implementing now. Because if we're being honest, y'all, and this is where we're going to be honest, he's already giving you the statistics of what it looks like to find a partner. Let's take into consideration this poly, which when I have conversations with men about poly, I just cut it short because they are not looking for poly. That's not what they're looking for. But if they find someone that's not educated, she'll be like, "Oh, okay." And I'm like, "Boo, he just wants to sleep around. That's not what it is." So educating yourself in that, but also there is this group of men who are having relationships with men and not identifying as gay. They still identify themselves as heterosexual. So, like, you're not just going against women anymore. Like, when we talk about your statistics, especially I feel because I live in Atlanta, especially Atlanta, we're not just going against your statistics of men to women. And why you make that face? Like,
Girl, okay, you opening up a can of something, honey.
The
Yes, ma'am,
honest
you're right.
truth is
You're
you're
right.
not just competing with women anymore. Like, that's the truth.
Yeah. It's interesting. I have a lot of gay friends, gay male friends, and half of the guys that they sleep with are DL, bi, sometimes married, whatever it may be. So you're 100% right when you talk about that. I don't want you to, I think competition is such a like a strict word. I don't necessarily think of it as competition. I think that you need to understand, is your guy gay or not?
Facts.
And can I just offer, like, it's really interesting. Society has like the focus on like sexual pleasure for men is often in the butt, right? So
Mm-hmm.
you
I
never
know
see,
that. We know that.
you never, like, when you see like these Instagram models, or it's always from the butt. So men want butt. You know, it's not necessarily about the tetas, right? Or often not so much about the nether region. So I also think just like culturally, men are being like focused in on I like this. This is what I like, right? And it's just that many of them don't feel like it's a safe space for them to be their true, authentic, full selves, unfortunately, in this community. I always say, if you don't know if your guy is gay or not, I have a couple of tests, yeah, which I think are fun and important. Some are more serious than others. So you want to bring a gay guy around your guy, and you got to see how he reacts. If he says anything like negative about that guy without even knowing him, he's too interested in him, right? He's protesting too much. If the gay guy comes into the room and your guy's feet are pointed toward him, he's interested in him. It's body language 101. This is how I tell all my black queens out there. If you want to know if a white guy's interested in you, look at his feet. If
I've
his feet are
heard you
pointing
say
toward
that.
you, he's into you, girl. Pounds, right? That's why I always knew what guy I could get based on looking at his feet. I can go into a room and be like, I can get him, I can get him, I can get him.
Oh
Yeah.
my goodness.
Yeah. If a guy is looking at another guy and he looks up and down, because guys don't look guys up and down, he's gay. And research says that fingers, if this index finger, your pointer finger, is significantly lower than your ring finger, you're probably gay, because there was like a lower level of testosterone while you were in the womb. So you can also look at the fingers as well. You see my finger, like my index finger is significantly lower than my ring finger, girl. That means I'm gay, gay. Gay, 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 gay. Yeah. So
Oh
those are
my
some things to
goodness.
think about. And I always say, girl, if you're in a jacuzzi with a man and his butt is in the jets, girl, he's also gay.
Oh, y'all are getting this tea because I've heard you talk about the feet, but the immediate talking about someone, I didn't even think about that.
He cares too much. Why are you caring about some gay dude? Right? Like, guys that are like really secure in their sexuality, they're not tripping. They don't even see them. They're like, those guys are like not a factor to them. Right? And you want a guy that's like that. Right? If he's like so hyper focused on this guy, why does this guy have so much interest from you?
Why are you so affected emotionally?
100%.
Oh, listen, I have a psych major and I analyze people, but you're gonna have me looking at people, really looking at
That's why it's good to have a good gay friend, so you can
Yes.
test this, honey, especially in the DC and Atlanta and New York areas and LA
Yes.
areas.
So, what are three things that you feel like will start these women in the right direction immediately?
Good question. I think that you need to put yourself out there, right? And I always say both online and offline. Some people are tripping about like being online. I think you'll never know who you find until you just put yourself out there. So, like, I would say get on two apps, right? 10 minutes a day or so. Don't go crazy. This is a marathon, not a sprint. But also now you want to also be offline, right? So you want to go out to places that you love, but also places where you can meet people. Because a lot of the girls aren't just working from home, they're living from home. So,
Absolutely.
girl, you got to go outside, touch grass, touch some men, honey. Yeah. You can't just touch yourself all day. No shade.
COVID has done a disservice, I feel like, of us being at e I am even also I'm like, this year I'm going outside. I'm going to go meet people
Yeah.
out of these four walls.
You have to. I was just featured in the Washington Post where I was talking about the shift is offline now. So you got to go out. And here's the thing. If your first inclination or feeling was, oh, I don't want to do it, please understand that was the feeling of 80, 90% of the women out there, which means that you're not going to have a lot of competition when you're outside. Not now, at least. So go out and get your man. That's the first thing. Be present, both online and offline. The second thing is we've got to work on the things that we just talked about, right? Boundaries, right? Being able to tell people how you want to be treated and coming from a feeling place. In terms of language, I always use language of I would prefer or I would feel most comfortable, right? If you don't know how to set boundaries, I would prefer if this happened. I would prefer if you spoke to to me in this way, right? Like those sorts of that language is received really well versus you trying to tell somebody about themselves. Because y'all think you're setting boundaries, but you're actually just being aggressive and you're only going to be met with defensiveness. So being able to set boundaries and have those conversations, because you're going to have to set boundaries with your man throughout your entire relationship and all throughout dating. And if you can't boundary well, you won't date well and you won't get into great relationships. So work on those boundaries. And then third, vulnerability, feminine energy, right? Now, am I saying I want you to be some fembot? No, because it's really about a balance of having both. But most Black women are like 90, 80, 90% masculine, 10, 20% feminine. And we got to get to like the 50, 50, 60, 40 route, right? So that we can find a person and a partner that has a high level of both of those, right? Yeah. At this point, you need a man who has the emotional intelligence and sensitivity, right? It's not the 1950s anymore. He doesn't just come to work, you know, and then come home, open a beer, watch the night show, and go to bed. We have conversations. Women have more agency and independence and more financial freedom, right? So the scales of the energies need to be a bit more balanced. And you have to be balanced to find a man that is balanced, right? So being able to learn how to sit comfortably in your feminine energy, which requires you to be vulnerable, share your feelings, and you know, come from a place of acceptance versus judgment, ask for help. All very important things in your feminine vulnerability journey.
Oh, I feel like you gave some stuff that you, I feel it. I feel the love, the stuff that they didn't know that you probably would have had to pay. Okay.
Girl, and pay a pretty dollar and even an ugly dollar, girl. Honey, she's not cheap.
Yes, I love this. This was a really good conversation. So now that they are in love with you, how can they come work with you?
Yes, so if you want to just like learn a little bit more about what I do, you can definitely take like check out my podcast. It's called the Get Your Guy Coaching Podcast, because you might not know if you want to mess with me. If you are interested in learning how to work together, you can definitely book a consultation call. The website is www.getyourguycoaching.com/apply. And then you'll fill out an application. And then after that application, you will be able to book a call and talk directly to me, and we'll see if it's a fit or not. No
Oh,
pressure.
and yes, and we'll have that in the show notes. Well, thank you so much. I feel like I need to go sit and process because there were some parts in this that activated my little nervous system, honey. So
That's a good thing.
it is. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure and an honor to be on your show.
Didn't I tell y'all? Didn't I tell y'all? Now, this is what I would like for you to do, whether you are listening to this on Apple, whether you are listening to this on Amazon, iHeart, wherever you are listening to this, I want you to go to Spotify and leave a comment about how you felt about this episode. And in our next Cocoa and Champagne Circle, I'm still working out the dates for April, but I want us to discuss how you felt. What came up for you after listening to this episode? Because y'all see, in the middle of the episode, I literally had a visceral reaction to some of the things that he was saying. Like my body was feeling sorrow and pain and just hurt, sadness. And I'm not single. Like I have a partner. So just I want to talk about this. I want to provide a space for us to debrief. Or you can email me at hello@chantelandco.com, which is also in the show notes. and just let me know what you're thinking and what you're feeling, because this, it was heavy. It wasn't meant to be heavy, but I know for some of us it was a heavy episode, so I want to make sure that I provide you the support after listening to that and kind of digesting and processing it. Share this episode with a good girlfriend. Share this episode with your sister, your mama, your best. Just send it, honey. Send it. Make sure you rate and review. I love you so much. Thank you for continuing to come into my world, and I will talk to you later. Bye.